With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It was because their societies prevented them from getting such jobs or interviews or promotions, because I was getting letters, as you mentioned, from Pakistan, from China, from Brazil, from all throughout the U.S., and women were telling me that they were over 30 years old, and in their society, they were written off by society because they had gotten their graduate degrees, and yet they weren't yet married, so they were considered leftover women. Or in that, this was particularly a letter I remember receiving from China and others in Brazil, not being taken seriously. And of course, the one you mentioned in Pakistan, heartbreaking as well, as she mentioned that at 16 years old, all it seemed to that others cared about were that the fact that she should be married, and that there's to be more to life than that, she thought. And so as I would read through all these letters, that's what made me realize, what if we could have a platform whereby all of us could share all these raw aspects of our lives, these struggles, these challenges, be real with one another, truly share all of this so that we could become that much better and stronger as we share, therefore, ideas and opportunities and insights.
Tiffany Pham is an incredible lady that I've admired from afar for the longest time. I remember the first time I heard her story and I was like, wow, she's incredible. I've got to get her on the podcast somehow, or I've got to connect with her in some way. And lo and behold, I was able to be connected with someone that set up her interviews, and we made this podcast happen. We talk about her story, her book, and her amazing platform. You just heard about the way it really impacts people across different continents. But stay tuned to hear more about how she really, really got started into it and what drove her passion. There are a little bit of technical difficulties initially in the beginning, as well as some parts in the end. But stick it through, and I guarantee you that you're going to gain a lot from the episode. Enjoy. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of As Told by Nomads. And today we have a special guest. I was just joking with her that we've been hearing about each other with our mutual friends and in circles. But Tiffany Pham is the founder of a platform called Mogul, and she just released her first book. By the time this episode is out, her book would have been out, and it's called You Are Mogul. Tiffany is an amazing TCK. Many of you know what TCK is, a third culture kid. But she is someone who has created a platform for many millennials all over the world in 196 countries. And she was inspired by a family who moved from, you know, from Vietnam to Paris and then to Texas. And then following a career in telecom, technology, and media, she grew very passionate about media and access to information, that she promised that she would make sure that she carried that family legacy. Now she's here being the amazing entrepreneur she is. She's visionary, and she has been, influenced and mentioned in the same sentence as the Chelsea Clintons, the Katie Couric's, the Kelly Osbournes, and the Margaret Cho. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. So excited. And as you said, we've been hearing about each other for so long now. So excited. Finally getting a chance to chat.
Likewise. And you know, I touched on just a little bit of your awesomeness, but I was wondering if you could peel the layers that is Tiffany Pham and take us back to your early days when you first had an inkling of what it is you wanted to do today.
Absolutely. So happy to. It definitely was many, many years back, because ultimately it all started as a child. I was inspired to start Mogul because when I was a little girl, I was so inspired by my grandmother, who was this incredible woman who ran businesses across Asia and fought to provide others with access to information and ultimately opportunities. All these incredible women looked up to her, and just she was so beloved. I wished to be like her. She was also one of the first women to drive a car in Vietnam. So incredible. And so what happened was that over time, I wanted to be like her. I did the best I could, but it wasn't until age 14 when all of a sudden I moved to not only America, but I was adjusting to life there. And then my grandmother passed away. Hmm. And that year, 14 years old, I ended up being changed forever after. At that day, actually, it was that day that she passed away that I made a promise to her that I would do everything I could to follow in her footsteps. And I was going to dedicate my life, too, towards providing information access to those around me in need, that I would create, ultimately, a place whereby I could provide others with opportunities as well as she had. I was going to spend every waking moment working towards this goal and mission, too. No matter how hard or challenging, I was going to spend every last ounce of energy I had working towards the same goal and mission as she had. And anyway, so ever since I was 14, that's all I've ever worked towards.
Wow. And I want to ask a few questions. So that those move, when you move around as much as you did, I'm curious, how did you go about finding your identity? Because you wanted to create a platform. You knew that at an early age, but a lot of times you have to understand who you are first and your skill set. So I was wondering if you ever had an identity crisis and how you went about expressing yourself.
My identity is actually probably one that was, I think, maybe unique in how I'm going to express it. Ultimately, I found happiness and an identity in accepting all others' identities and cultures. So I love the fact that I was... from Asia, and meaning that I am from Vietnamese Chinese origin, ultimately born and raised in Paris, France, given that my parents were refugees and ultimately we ended up in France, and then subsequently going to Plano, Texas, of all places, high school. And ultimately when I was growing up, in Texas, I started watching shows like Gilmore Girls, and I started watching movies like Legally Blonde, which became the seeds of what later inspired me, without even ever stepping a foot on these campuses, to later apply to Yale for college and business school at Harvard, simply because I'd seen them on these TV shows and movies and never even stepped foot on those campuses again, but was realizing that perhaps these could be places where I could further grow and fulfill my promise to my grandmother. And even without enough money to attend, so I ended up attending on scholarship. But that's kind of how I built up my identity, was accepting each part of this of me. And ultimately, all along the way, because of the various environments I'd be in, I would meet incredible other people who had different religions, different political views, that ultimately aspired to do different things in their lives. And then ultimately that influenced me to be, therefore, someone who accepts all religions and therefore, is in the center. I accept all, political views, and ultimately do swing certain ways in terms of my politics, but ultimately accept what others believe in and therefore would be probably considered in the middle, and then subsequently also on the culture side, just love all languages, love all cultures, love all people, which explains why later on at Yale ended up being an international studies major, where I became multilingual. I was always multilingual since I was a little girl, but subsequently even studied more languages to become even further multilingual. And then Mogul is, of course, the biggest representation of my love of the world and different cultures and bridging cultural gaps, since it brings women and men from all around the world together to converse and connect and share knowledge and ultimately create more empathy for one another and enable us to become that much better and stronger together.
Wow. So there's so much that I want to get into. But the first thing that you said is the first thing I want to address is you say you're multilingual. How many languages do you speak?
So unfortunately, not as many as my father, who could speak seven languages.
Sheesh.
Yeah, 17 years old. He actually also recently started developing software and technology to enable anyone to learn how to speak a language in under a month, called Any Language in 1 Month, I think it's what it's called. Hmm. And he's brilliant, polyglot, and I wish I could speak as many as him. But I did learn how to speak English, Vietnamese, and French since I was a little girl. And then when I was at Yale, I ended up studying Italian. And then further, when I was in the city in New York, ended up at night studying Mandarin as well. So have been in the midst of trying to perfect those latter two languages. But the first three I could always speak since I was a girl.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, that's incredible. And I imagine that helps with the cross-cultural communications as well. And that's cool. I also wanted to touch on the fact that you brought up Gilmore Girls. Gilmore Girls is a show that I've loved as well. But the idea of what you said is when you said some of these shows was something that you were able to see yourself in, you know, with Rory, you know, going to all those Ivy Leagues. For me, that show was One Tree Hill. But when you said Gilmore Girls and you understanding that applying to schools like Yale was just a normal thing for you, I have this very trivial question. Were you Team Jess, Logan, or Dean?
I think Dean was good, but I think I soured on him actually in the season, the new season. Did you watch those latter two seasons on Netflix?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
He's a huge stalker. But yeah, I think I soured on Dean, and I think I've always loved Jess. I always thought he was good.
Yeah, Jess is amazing. Yeah, I think I don't know. I think it might be. I don't know. I was one of those few that didn't have a problem with Logan as much as many people did. But anyways, we'll see.
I actually like Logan too. But now Logan, if she continues to be with him, she'll be cheating on him, and I don't have a problem.
Yeah, that's true. That's a fair point. All right, let's talk about what you ended up creating, Mogul. Now, this platform. Can you explain it to people that might not have heard about it? I love the name Mogul, but what is Mogul to someone that's just hearing it for the first time?
Yeah, so Mogul is a platform whereby millions of women and men, because we're an all-inclusive platform, can come on and share articles, videos, jobs, events, products all around the internet, showcasing what's really important to them, and ultimately from that be able to share ideas and knowledge amongst each other from that, as it collectively showcases what's trending amongst women worldwide. How it evolved, though, was by honing in on what we realized was the most important aspects of what people were sharing, which is that they were really sharing, as they were sharing these specific formats that I just mentioned, they were sharing their biggest struggles from their lives, their biggest challenges, and really what was enabling them, what was not helping them at the current moment, therefore what could help them more in their lives at the moment, and come especially from the community around on Mogul. So the platform over time evolved even further into this direction of enabling anyone to come on to become truly, therefore, the best versions of themselves as they then drew that support from the community, as they shared all this information and knowledge amongst each other. It truly enabled them to become what we know as a mogul. Mm. Us, a mogul, is the best version of yourself. It is you being your best self as a daughter, friend, sister, mother, team leader, team player. It is what, you know, are all the facets of your life essentially that you care about, that you would like to be the best of. And that to us is a true mogul. It's not in the definition that mogul might have been in your mind before, which is that of just a successful career person. For us, it is every part of your life that is a mogul.
No, and to your point is, you know, one of the first letters you received was from a young girl in Pakistan, right? She said a mogul helped her realize that she could be more than what her society told her. And it sounds to me like the platform you've created has allowed people to realize that, you know, they're not alone, that there's more to the world than what it is that they are defined as. And, you know, I feel like you're making an impact in a lot of gender equality conversations, particularly outside of the United States.
Yes, absolutely. It was definitely inspired at the very beginning, not only by my grandmother, but at the launch of Mogul, what caused me to even start to create Mogul was that as I went along the way trying to fulfill this promise to my grandmother, I ended up trying to do so by learning every facet of the industry possible within corporations, within HBO, CBS, BBC, working for different presidents at each of these various companies, and was learning so much from them, and ultimately tried to learn even more at nights by taking on side hustles. When I was at CBS in particular, I was also side hustling at nights with a job with the vice mayor of Beijing. Ultimately had another job even on top of that, working to produce films and documentaries with A-list talent in Hollywood. So I had all three jobs at once. One of the youngest directors at CBS on kind of the business side, TV stations, radio stations, then furthermore working with the vice mayor of Beijing again, and then furthermore producing feature films, as mentioned. And so I had all three jobs. Then one day what happened was that I woke up and by chance my phone had exploded with so many emails and texts from all around, and it was because my jobs had been talked about in various magazines, in particular that specific morning in Forbes magazine under their 30 Under 30, which was just a new list at the time that they had come up with. No one really knew what it was at the time, but what happened was my email address was available on that list, and as a result, I got so many of these letters from young girls all around the world asking for help and advice on how they could get these opportunities too. But along the way, they would tell me all of the reasons why they didn't felt like they could get these opportunities. And it was because their societies prevented them from getting such jobs or interviews or promotions, because I was getting letters, as you mentioned, from Pakistan, from China, from Brazil, from all throughout the U.S. And women were telling me that they were over 30 years old, and in their society, they were written off by society because they had gotten their graduate degrees and yet they weren't yet married, so they were considered leftover women. Or that this was particularly a letter I remember receiving from China, and others in Brazil not being taken seriously. And of course, the one you mentioned in Pakistan, heartbreaking as well, as she mentioned that at 16 years old, all it seemed to that others cared about were that the fact that she should be married and right. that there's to be more to life than that, she thought. And so as I would read through all these letters, that's what made me realize, what if we could have a platform whereby all of us could share all these raw aspects of our lives, these struggles, these challenges, be real with one another, truly share all of this so that we could become that much better and stronger as we share, therefore, ideas and opportunities and insights amongst one another. So it was from women all around the world that the inspiration for Mogul really grew.
That's amazing. And we're talking to the amazing Tiffany Pham, who has created the number one millennial platform all over the world. It's a global technology and media empire that she started at the age of 27. But as you heard from her story, a lot of what she did started with she had the vision. That was the first thing. And she had an inspiration from her grandma, but she had the vision. And she went about seeking different ways to become indispensable to her company. I think your inspiring stories are you made yourself pick up different skill sets. You speak multiple languages. You picked up different jobs so you could do different things, in media companies, so you know how to tell the story. I also read that you taught yourself how to code. Is that correct?
I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And the reason why I'm pointing out all these things is because a lot of people that listen to this podcast are millennials as well, or younger Gen Z, and they're interested in making an impact in the world, but they're interested in doing that in an entrepreneurship manner. With your story, where you went about to really be this disciplined, is there something you can call back on your personal experience when you're building a business to help fellow aspiring entrepreneurs? Like, what skill sets should you work on? What things can you do to surround yourself with to make sure that you ultimately create a company that is successful for you? Because I imagine you probably got a lot of pushback when you were starting out.
Oh, absolutely. I think, it's definitely something that any entrepreneur will experience. It's a lot of no's at the beginning, a lot of ideas that will send you another direction, a lot of people not believing that this could be a viable solution for the problem you're trying to solve. But what is important is that whatever you're doing, always stay truly aligned with what you believe in your values and your purpose, your why. Because so long as that's true, it doesn't matter how the idea evolves. As you incorporate feedback from others, or as you decide that ultimately the solution you came up with might be even better as a different one, so long as it's always aligned with your why, it's okay to continue pivoting and continue rapidly iterating until it continues to evolve and perfect over time. I think that was really important philosophy to think about since the beginning. And it was one that I had grown up with since a little girl. My father would always talk about failing forward when we were little. So we would always be encouraged to try out as many things as possible and then rapidly drop the things that we weren't as interested in, and the things that we were, you know, continue forward in that and become the best at it you can. But it's okay if you're not perfect or the best at the beginning. Just keep going and keep trying and keep learning. So that's definitely an important behavior, philosophy to keep in mind as an entrepreneur. And then even further from that, remember that any no's that you do get right now, it's okay, because in the end, they're not right now's that will turn into yeses.
Yeah.
So yeah, with Mogul, that was early on something that helped us continue forward despite the naysayers. And I definitely have some fun stories about naysayers.
I was about to ask, because that's my favorite thing, is what are those stories about the naysayers that really made you like, all right, okay, we'll see.
I'm looking forward to everyone, all of your listeners reading the book. They'll read a particularly one anecdote that was, for me, probably one of my favorite ones to recollect and reflect on, which was that early on, we just, like at month one, were suddenly approached by one of the top accelerators in the world to be a part of the program. And they said to us, you know, you'll interview round by round, but trust us, if you go through this, we have some real, you know, you'll make it, because we really like you guys. This is a cool concept. This is month one. So at month one, if you're familiar with the Mogul story, you know that I was just really a one-person team, and I just barely brought on board at that time about 1.5 other people to help out. A friend who had been a longtime collaborator on content came on board as our head of content and was just starting to get into the swing of things as these interviews with this accelerator started. And then the other was my brother, who is now our longtime CTO and essentially co-founder of Mogul, because, you know, he was such a brilliant technology leader across New York, and we were very, very lucky to have him on board with Mogul thereafter.
Yeah.
But what happened was that still, at the beginning days, a month in, it was still about 1.5 people. And we, at that time, were already servicing and reaching over 1 million women at that time. Upon launch, as you'll recall, we launched to nearly 1 million, as many people know. So what happened is that when you're servicing 1 million, you could barely do so as a 100-person team, you know, or a 10-person team, but let alone just a 1.5-person team, that was really hard. So what we would do is typically would enable these users to post content, and then thereafter we'd moderate, and then we would be able to remove their content thereafter. So fast forward.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This accelerator calls, and then we go through all the rounds, round by round. I pass. Fourth round, I believe, was when all of a sudden I brought in some of the other members I brought on at that time, including the head of content and my brother. We step into the room, and it's a room of 20 men who I'd never talked to before. All the previous rounds had been people who had been part of my circles or known us in some way, and then therefore continued us forward and really loved us, but then step into the room, all strangers and people out of our demographic, and all of a sudden they walked through the whole platform, and out of nowhere, a user must have posted a tabloid link, a link to a tabloid. There was a spam link, essentially. In the midst of us demoing the product, a user had posted that link. And it was funny. It was, in fact, something we still laugh about to this day. It was a National Enquirer link about a mermaid sighting. It was so innocuous and kind of absolutely removed right away. But we were in the middle of the demo, and the people in the room that typically moderate our content were literally sitting right next to me. So there was nothing we could do but just scroll down, pass this link, and hope they wouldn't see, but they saw, and they wondered, you know, what about this? And they couldn't get, they were hung up on this one link, and they couldn't see past it, beyond all of the incredible possibility and potential of Mogul. They couldn't see this past this little spam link. So what happened was that the mood of the room changed, and all of a sudden, this one person kept on honing in on that, and then by the end, we walked out, and sure enough, we weren't very surprised when a week later it turned out that we did not get selected for the accelerator after going all through these rounds. And so anyways, we were like, you know what, it's okay because we didn't even need an accelerator. We will put ourselves through an accelerator. I still remember being in that room and giving our team, which had now been at, a little bit more robust because we added two more people by that time frame. Amongst the five of us, we sat down and we were like, you know what? We will put ourselves to that accelerator. We will connect with everybody who would have been a mentor of that program, and we will have them become our mentors. And we will, you know, maybe the accelerator might have put us under a lot of discipline and made us try to go after goals. Well, we will put our own goals. We will go after them. We will put fire under ourselves. Anyways, we gave ourselves that pep talk, and that accelerated us so much more, I guarantee you, than actually going to that accelerator. So that, a year later, we had grown into not only that first million users, but we grew into the fastest growing platform for women ever, and now, of course, the largest worldwide. And then a year later, that same accelerator called because we had become the one that got away. And they said, you know, you don't even have to interview this time. You've got this spot. But by then, we had become too big. So we said, no, thank you. And wow, that was the end of the story.
I absolutely love stories like that. Those are my favorite, especially when it comes back full circle like that. And I love the fact that you have the foresight to understand that, okay, this is a setback, but this is actually a setup for what's going to happen in our future. And, you know, even with your subtitle here in your book, How to Do the Impossible, Do It Yourself, and Do It Now. That's exactly what you did. You did the seemingly impossible. You did it yourself, you and your team, and you did it then. And that's incredible. And for those listening, her book, which is something you should definitely get because it's going to be out by the time this is out, also, it not only includes her story, but it also includes stories from, you know, some of the most powerful moguls worldwide, whether it's Nina Garcia to Rebecca Minkoff. And the thing that I particularly love about what Tiffany's done is that she's redefined the word mogul. You know, a lot of times it's attributed to men. And we live in a patriarchal world, and it's attributed to men. But, you know, I love how she's talked about the way that this is actually an empowering thing, and you can actually be more than your environment or what people define for you. So really, really humbled that you created such a roadmap for each and every one of us.
Thank you so much. You're incredible yourself. And I'm just so delighted to have been able to share this story with you all.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I have a question. So you look at the world now. You're someone that, you know, you and I relate in the fact that, you know, cross-cultural, grew up in multiple parts of the world. You have different perspectives. What do you see is the problem with the world right now, whether it's with the politics going on here in the States, whether it's Russia, whether it's Brexit, whether it's in different parts of, you know, Africa or Asia or South America? What do you think is the problem with the world, and why are people not listening to each other?
There are many, many problems in the world, but I think, interestingly enough, This makes me think of a situation I once faced in which we were asked, of course, there are many problems in the world, but if there was one problem that we could solve, what would we solve so that then we could solve all other problems? And so to think back on that question makes me think back to the answer I gave then. And what I gave then was that girls' education and women's rights are the main problem. If you solve those two problems, all other problems in the world would be solved. Why? Because when women are given the right to incredible equal rights and other incredible amenities that enable them to contribute to society, and when girls learn and are part of, you know, contributing to their families as well and society and back to the world and more, then all of a sudden all boats rise. Many of the other problems that I could have otherwise described fade away in many different ways, from potential famine and hunger to to just so many other issues that we could go through. Many of that at the crux could be solved by equal rights for all, for women and men. So, and I say this because I actually went through this exercise in Austria one day. It was a couple of years ago. There were 20 pioneers from all around the world invited in, from the founder of Siri to the founder of Memphis Meats, which is recreating meat without actually animals being needed, to as well as, you know, the founder of Ocean Cleanup, which is cleaning up oceans, to royalty from Saudi Arabia, which oversees different oil initiatives and et cetera. So anyways, all these incredible pioneers and innovators from all around the world came all together in this one room, and we were at that. It was amongst them that we were asked this question. Amongst all the problems that all of us are working on, which one, if we worked on it and solved, could actually solve all the others collectively, which one would it be? And each one kind of advocated for their own issue and problem that they were working on with their respective organization. But when I brought up the fact that it was with women, actually, that if we could solve that first, everything else would be resolved, that we realized that it was the reality. That was the truth. And so that then ultimately became our answer collectively.
Wow. Yeah. And you know, what you're saying reminds me of, the late Kofi Annan, who just passed away. And he talked about gender equality in this way. He said that gender equality is more than a goal in itself. You know, it is a precondition for meeting the challenge of reducing poverty, promoting sustainable development, and building good governance. You know, so it isn't just like, I'm just going to put like a feminist quote there and then I'm done. It's actually, it's much more than that. A lot of people like to, I've gotten a lot of flack for this famously online one time because I made a video for gender equality. And there were a lot of comments from people that said, how are you just saying that because you want to sleep with women, or you've been brainwashed by a bunch of communistic type of women? And I was just thinking about how that was so far from the point. It isn't about taking away men's rights. It's more about raising awareness that, first of all, gender equality is a human issue, one, but you're not even looking at the bigger picture of what's happening outside of here, where, you know, places that I grew up in, where women didn't have equal access to education or equal access to the same food, or you know gender mutilation, and all how the impact of that ultimately affects a whole generation of talent, of people, of mindsets. And I really do think that education of what's going on outside of the world can actually possibly raise that empathy, but also raise that awareness.
Absolutely. Completely agree with you. And I love the Kofi Annan quote you just mentioned. So powerful. I definitely have to remember that quote from him as well. It's so aligned with what I was just sharing. And
yeah.
And it's definitely the key to the issues that we see today.
Yeah, no, I love it. We're almost getting ready to close here, but I'm interested in knowing about the process of writing. Because obviously, you create a successful platform. You've been listed as a Forbes 30 Under 30. You're you know, you're the owner of the largest millennial platform. You speak often, you travel often, and you become a thought leader in this space. In your mind, as the younger generation comes about, what is the best way to become a thought leader in a thing that you're passionate about? Is it through a book? Is it through speaking? Is it through telling stories? You know, I'm just curious because I'm looking at your career path and I've seen you've done each of these things. And I'm curious as to what you think is the best way to start.
I think the best way to start is where you think you could reach your audience most. Mm-hmm. And so for me, the ways in which I started was simply through what I could do myself fastest to reach the people that I hoped to help. So for me, that was initially, you know, teaching myself how to code to build the platform myself. And once I built the platform, then I was able to reach women through that. So I would post all of my heart and soul, and not necessarily like career thought leadership, but just overall thoughts on things that would help me. Had I read them, I would share them out with the world. So that even included at the early stages of Mogul, about the heartbreak that I experienced upon launching Mogul as I dated a man who made me choose between marrying him versus starting Mogul. Yes, I'm actually not kidding. That actually happened.
Okay, Tiffany, come on. I know I asked a question and I'm going to pause that a little bit, but please tell us that story if you can after this, because that doesn't sound like that's a real story. It sounds like a movie.
Totally, but it was so sad that someone I was with for so long could, at the beginning of the relationship, be so supportive and over time come to a point where he would belittle me or ridicule me for any time I tried to teach myself how to code. He'd hover over, bend over like a little goblin and pretend to type and make me feel like, you know, he would mock me as he did that as a joke. Things like that would ultimately discourage me from pursuing Mogul. And that ultimately, when I ended up making the jump to try to start Mogul, made him announce that it was either going to be him and marrying him, moving in, or going into entrepreneurship and Mogul. And that was actually the week that I launched Mogul, is the week that we broke up. And this was after many years together. I was so heartbroken for the first 6 months of Mogul, because even though I knew this person was wrong for me, that he could come to this and say that, which actually, when I look back, there was a reason for as well. I would say, just as a tangent, the reason why he came to that after being such a supportive partner initially was because at the beginning, he had hope for himself and optimism that he would pursue his passions as well. This person was in finance at the time and was looking to move out of the industry because he was no longer passionate about it. But at some juncture in our relationship, just prior to launching Mogul, actually, he made the decision that actually he was going to stay in finance and not pursue his loves and passions, which were actually more about writing and teaching and becoming a teacher. So as a result of abandoning his passions, it was almost like he resented me for pursuing mine, therefore. And that's why the sudden transformation, since I'm sure that transformation might otherwise puzzle listeners. So when I look back upon that relationship, it was that caused the rift, I believe. And ultimately, that is what caused my heartbreak. And so when I ended up launching Mogul, I acted as a super user on Mogul, posting my heart out as well. And one of the first posts I ever posted was called, "Do not get married," in all caps, "unless you ask your partner these 15 questions." And that post got read over 13 million times.
Wow.
And then subsequently, I would start to think about the best partners in life, and I started implementing other more minor relationships, smaller relationships, I then started posting my heart up yet again. In fact, if you Google the words "non-committal man," and actually I will show up probably as the number one or two search results under a post I wrote about non-committal men. So I started just writing out my heart. So it didn't have to be necessarily a thought leader across a certain subject matter, such as career, but for me it was leadership across areas of life that were important to me at the time that helped me connect to the users that would find me to be, therefore, someone that they could look up to across various aspects of their lives that were important to them too. And for female millennial women, which is our target demographic on the platform that we help as much as possible, and that ultimately makes up the core of the platform, that is ultimately the subject matters that we care about tremendously. Having a fulfilling life across the board, a fulfilling life across our career on a professional level, at the same time as having a personal life that's also fulfilling as a great daughter and sister, but also intimate partner as well. And hopefully that's with a very supportive partner. And so I think that those posts would strike a chord, and that's how I built up an early audience and follower base that ultimately connected with me in this very emotional way. And then ultimately after that, as I continued to learn more about Mogul, where it was taking women around the world, helping in every way possible with opportunities and educational resources and more, I started to share more and more thoughts on this in a way whereby we could even reach more women with whom this would strike a chord. And so that became not only online on through the platform, but other platforms as well, other publications, other radio channels, podcasts, TV shows, books, events globally. And so all these various channels were yet another way to build out an ecosystem in which we could all connect across the board in every way possible, 360. So that's how I started, and that's how it continued to grow.
Yeah. And, first of all, thank you for sharing your story. And the thing that I love about what you're saying is it's exactly what I believe to be true as well, is oftentimes if you want to become a thought leader, you have to start with yourself or your environment, or your current environment. You know, when I started, I started talking about TCKs and other people that grew up in the same way. And that was my connection point. And I shared my experiences of identity crisis. And then out of that, you know, you build a community of other people who identify with that. And it sounds like a lot of people identify with that story of yours, where it's like the choice that someone is making you choose between this and that, but also the idea of wanting to be more. And you build a following because there's that trust that's established. They feel like you're authentic. And then the more you do that, you can even start to listen more to your audience, and they'll a lot of times inform you with pain points that they have. And you can then continue to show up for them. And consistency, you add consistency to that, then you have a platform being amplified because other people start to spread the word. And then, you know, something like Mogul, which is incredible, happens. Where can people find out more about you and your book? And then I'll ask you to find.
Where they can find me is ultimately on Mogul. If you look up my profile on mogul.com/Tiffany-Pham, as well as across Instagram, of course, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and across all those channels. But definitely excited for them all to connect on Mogul with me. And then in terms of the book, it's available in all major bookstores and independent retailers as well, from Barnes & Noble to Amazon. Yeah, excited that hopefully they'll read the book, and hopefully it'll impact them and make them realize that, again, everything is possible and within their reach that they might have previously thought was impossible. And hopefully from every lesson learned within the book, it'll help every single reader become a mogul themselves.
Absolutely. And once again, if you're just on the fence about getting the book, I'll say this, you know, in the book, she chronicles her path to becoming one of the most successful entrepreneurs of her generation. And she offers specific, actionable advice that covers everything from overcoming self-doubt. We all know that's one of our biggest enemies there, to pursuing side hustles and crushing it at life and work by over-delivering while remaining her authentic self. I'll put all the links in the show notes, but I really, really want you to just, you know, follow her and get it on her platform. I think it's she's really doing something to champion equality. And it's something that we need in today's world. So, yeah, I'll say that. Last question is this. My mission statement is use your difference to make a difference. That's the foundation of everything I do. It's what my company is based on. It's what the UID stands for, use your difference. So I often ask my guests this question. How do you, Tiffany, use your difference to make a difference?
I use my difference to make a difference by celebrating the most unique parts of me. And the most unique parts of me were that I'm a writer. So I'm not so much a speaker all the time, but I was a writer. And so I created a platform for essentially for everyone around the world to communicate through written word. And I enabled, through the fact that I was celebrating my love of career coaching and helping others with their professional development, I enabled that uniqueness and difference to help others in that area as well, since I incorporated that into the platform as well, partnering with companies all around the world to post their jobs and advice so that then our users could get that opportunity and advice too. And ultimately, I love education and reading, and so I hopefully made a difference there as I incorporated that into our motto. For every dollar Mogul earns, United Nations and our other partners provide free educational resources from Mogul to one woman in need all around the world, that 62 million others can now get access to free education. And so I hope that that difference and that love of learning and education that made me such a nerd growing up is now something that will help so many more millions around the world also become nerds, proudly, and moguls.
Perfect. Perfect. I love how you've taken ownership of everything that someone has tried to make you feel little for before, whether it's choosing your career, you've turned your career into what it is today, you know, the being made fun of as a nerd. Look at you. You're the one that coded your company. And look at what it's doing today. So taking ownership over who you truly are is an amazing way to use your difference to make a difference. So I want to thank you, Tiffany, so much for coming on the show. This has been a real pleasure and a real education of sorts.
Thank you so much. Had so much fun speaking with you. You're amazing.
Thank you.
I can't meet up with you soon. And thank you so much again for having me on the show. So fun.
It's my pleasure. And ladies and gentlemen, till next time, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.